You are listening to the Primitive Intelligence Podcast, Season 5, Episode Number 1. Going to talk about a bunch of different stuff. This season, I don't have a set theme. Season 4 was conspiracies. This season, just going to go with what's off the top of my head. The world is crazy right now. There's plenty of things to talk about. That's going to be what this season is. Right off the bat, I'm going to talk a little bit about just a little housekeeping of the podcast and how things might have changed. Going to talk about what happened at the end of season 4. This conspiracy season got killed by a conspiracy. And then going to talk a little bit about some different stuff than you're probably used to from season 4. But it could also be a conspiracy if you really think about it. That's coming up. The Primitive Intelligence Podcast starts now. Real quick, I want to talk about the changes that have happened back end, behind the scenes of the podcast, between seasons, that may or may not affect how you listen to the podcast. Up until now, I have hosted everything on servers of my own. Well, not that I have physically, but servers I rent. All the files went there. All the website construction was done by me. All the RSS feed, everything that makes the podcast happen, I took care of. And it is a lot of back-end work. So what I'm doing now is I launched a podcast called Hike Files, which I do is all outdoor-related stuff. It's nothing like this podcast at all, except for it's just me talking. That's where the similarities end. But I tested this new platform, this new way of doing it with that podcast. And initially I started with just YouTube Music and putting the podcast through there, but Primitive Intelligence was available everywhere. So I wanted to continue that. What I've done is I've moved all the files, all the previous season files, everything, all the audio, everything over to Spotify. Originally I had it put up as with their Anchor FM brand, and they recently did away with that brand. It's all just Spotify now. The podcast is hosted on Spotify now, but that doesn't mean that's the only place you can listen to it. So what they do is I just upload all the files to them. They do all the back end stuff. They store the files. They create the RSS feeds. All the artwork goes to them. They do all the distribution to Apple Podcasts and Google Podcasts, Podcast Addict, Spotify, obviously, anywhere like that, any of the databases, the podcast databases. I can just tell them where I want to send it. They show me what I need to do. Boom, it's taken care of. Takes everything off my hands. And then just the website stuff, I just do on my own with embedded podcast players for the seasons. I have more control over that. I'm not using WordPress anymore. It just became too much of a pain. WordPress is always updating stuff. Everything now with WordPress, you gotta pay for as an add-on, no matter how simple the add-on might be. Every little thing you want to do with WordPress has got to be, you got to pay for it. You got to pay for it. And it's just ridiculous. I know enough about web design. I don't need all that stuff. So I let Spotify handle all the back-end stuff with the files. YouTube is a separate file. It goes over to them separately, but it's the same. I can just do one recording. I can do one video, do the audio editing in that video, upload it to YouTube, upload it to Spotify. You can watch the video on YouTube or on Spotify. Doesn't matter. Either one. It works either way, which is awesome. And so it just takes a lot of stuff off my hands. Now, the problem that may cause is I had to resubmit the new RSS feed to all those databases. Some of them I was able to go in and say, this is the new RSS feed for my podcast. And it took a little bit, but it all seems to have cycled through. But then some of them, and I think Google Podcasts is one of them, I couldn't just update the RSS. I had to submit it as a new RSS. So for a while, there were two feeds for Primitive Intelligence. One was mine, which was defunct, and one was the Spotify, which was working. So if you don't see the new seasons showing up in your podcast player of choice, you can search for Primitive Intelligence again. You'll see the new logo. That'll tell you it's the new feed. Or you can just grab the RSS feed from the website and plug it into your podcast player choice, and it should automatically pull it right from Spotify servers. I did also change my everything with the website. It's a new server. I changed where the domain name is registered, everything. I moved it all because it was just too much of a pain with my old host. I'm not going to throw them under the bus. Whatever their issue was, I don't deal with it anymore. So I shouldn't be talking about website stuff at all after this little update. And that's pretty much all I'm going to say about that because I'm tired of talking about the website. It was most of last season. What happened to season four? Well, season four was all about conspiracies. It's actually titled Season Four Conspiracy with an exclamation point. And I spent the entirety of that season looking at the pros and cons, the goods and bads, the ins and outs, the possibilities and the ridiculousness of conspiracy theories. With the goal being that at the end, I was going to do a two-part series finale that was going to be how to basically make a conspiracy theory, how easy it would be to just take seemingly disconnected events, tie them together, and create a conspiracy out of it. I was going to use the thing that we cannot mention, apparently, the new C word. You know, that thing we all lived through in 2020, the not a cold, the not a flu. I was going to use that in entertainment purposes to show you how easy it could be done, to show you something that kind of makes sense, but when you think about it, really doesn't make sense. Could it? Could it be true? Maybe, maybe not. That's the whole point of a conspiracy theory. You never really know if it's true or if it's not. Very hard to prove or disprove. Well, some of them are pretty easy to disprove, but that was the plan. And I was putting the strings together. I was putting all the parts together. So with all this work towards a conspiracy, working on conspiracy theories, looking at conspiracy theories, ironically, season four ended because of a conspiracy theory. It got nipped because of a conspiracy theory. As I was getting all the information together, I got contacted by YouTube. I got an email, and they said, I'm in violation of community guidelines and standards, and that a video had been taken down. And I'm trying to think, what did I do? What did I say? I mean, I don't use the best language always in this podcast, but I'm not attacking people. I'm not doing anything like that. What could I possibly have said that would have gotten a video taken down? And I, especially thinking what my last video or two was. And it turns out it was a video that had been up for over a month. It was episode 403, all about the 5Gs, baby. And when I saw that, my mind just kind of went like numb for a second. Like how did that episode get striked for content violation? So I looked at it and I opened up the email. I went into the YouTube dashboard and it said that I was giving medical advice. And I immediately disputed it. And I put in a comment and I said, if you actually pay attention to the video, if you actually pay attention to that podcast, I'm not giving any medical advice. I'm talking about what other people are saying is happening in regards to 5G and the big bad C word that cannot be named from 2020. And immediately, they never even looked at it. No one ever even physically looked at the video. It just immediately came back. No, you're in violation of our community standards. This is a warning. They didn't just turn the video off. Didn't even give me an opportunity to go in and edit it and take out the part they didn't like. They just deleted it. Gone off the servers. See you later. Bye-bye. No more episode. Nothing for me to do. Now, I do have the original video. It's not like it's lost. But so I'm just kind of thinking, like, what about that could possibly be considered me giving medical information? And then the Joe Rogan and Neil Young thing happens right at about the same time. And everybody is up in arms over anything other than the narrative being talked about with the big bad C word. I'm trying to at least get one YouTube video up for season 5. But so the big bad C word, you can't say anything about it. You can't have an opinion about it. You just have to believe everything you were told. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. So I put the brakes on the 2-part episode because I'm like, hold on. I don't want to seem like I'm now jumping on the bandwagon with this, because this is what I was working on, and now suddenly this is a hot topic, and people want you canceled and banned and your stuff pulled, and you're just an evil, evil, evil person. I didn't want to be involved in that. So I put it on a back burner, figured I'd let things cool down a little bit and then see what happens from there. Then just life outside of the podcast took a turn, and you may notice if you've watched any of the videos from season 4, this is all different back here. So I had to move. I had to move my shop. I had to move home. I had to pack it all up and move. And I did it in a couple of weeks, and then I had to get unpacked. And it was just a huge, huge pain. And by the time I got things set up and got settled and was ready to start recording again, it had been months since I was going to originally do this episode. And I just decided, you know what? We'll just let season 4 end on a big question mark, because I don't even know how to handle the fact that I got taken down for something that wasn't even my idea. The funny thing is, the whole Joe Rogan, Neil Young debacle was based right around Spotify. They never had a problem with my episode 403. They didn't care. None of the other places the podcast is up cared. Nobody that listened to it came to me and said, you're giving me bad medical information. So I don't know. I'm not sure what happened there. They got ahead of themselves. I don't know. So I just never did the end of season 4. Maybe one day I'll do that as an episode. I'd have to get all the information back together. But, yep, that's the story of what happened at the end of season 4. Now, like I mentioned, this season isn't going to be just about conspiracy theories. I don't have any particular theme. It's just going to be whatever I want to talk about for the episode. And right now, things are crazy enough. I got plenty of things to talk about. One of them is the current state of work, of employment, of how things are done, at least in this country. I can't speak for anywhere else. But in the United States, right now, there is something really crazy going on. We went from not having enough people to do the work to suddenly there not being enough work. And in some cases, their businesses are in a state of both. They don't have enough people to do the work that they have, but it's not enough work to keep the people busy. If that makes any sense whatsoever. I hear about, nobody wants to work. People are lazy now. It's, you know, people aren't applying for the positions, all these things. And when you hear these companies say this, and then you go look at their corporate website or their company website, and you see what jobs they have available, a lot of times they don't have anything posted. Now I have my business at Hemlock Mountain Outdoors, and I do work a part-time job. And this company has done this. They've said, well, we can't find anybody to work. And then when you go look at their careers page, nothing is posted for the positions that they say they can't find anything for. You can't gain employees if you're not hiring. Now, there's other issues going on there. The industry that company is in apparently is not doing well right now. I'm not sure I 100% agree with that. But that's neither here nor there. And there are a certain amount of people who just don't want to work. But that's always been the case. That's nothing new. So for labor jobs, and that job is a warehouse. You've got to be in there. You got to go. You can't do that job remotely. You've got to be at work. I think the lack of employees comes down to a lot of things. One is pay. in Pennsylvania, our minimum wage in Pennsylvania is still $7.25 an hour. There was a bill recently passed to raise that up to $15 an hour by 2026. I think it went through. I haven't heard anything about it since then, in a couple of months. But $7.25 an hour is low, and businesses will try to pay you that $7.25. There are places in the area that they're paying way more than that, but that's still, that minimum wage is low. That just shows that I don't know that the people in charge really know how tough it is to live off $7.25. Even double that is hard to live off of right now. You've got massive downsizing of businesses, of corporations. You've got them eliminating positions and adding that work onto people that are doing other things, and you're overloading people. And then you've got this whole work from home and remote work. So like I said, with in a job like mine, a warehouse, I can't work from home. Now, my business, I can work from home. My shop is in my home. Different thing, though. So I pulled up some information here, and I'll share this with you. And I really like to get reaction from you, the listeners. Now, if you're watching this on YouTube, leave a comment down below. If you're listening to this somewhere else, come on over to primitiveintelligence.com. There's a contact page there. Send me a message. I want to hear what you guys think about this, because what I read and what I experience a lot of times are two completely different things. So from a couple different websites here, I pulled some information about work from home. Remote work. Remote work madness is how I have this worded. And I've got these notes here from Yahoo Finance. I'll put these links in the show notes in the video description. Work from home, remote work. CEOs and companies want to say that it's bad for productivity and it's bad for workplace culture and it's bad for all these things. The one thing I do see that could be bad for is in training. I was a trainer when I did cable, and obviously cable's a hands-on job, so you have to be there for it. But even for things like the actual, like the non-hands-on parts of cable, knowing the frequencies and all the more scientific stuff behind it. Well, I wouldn't really say scientific, but technological stuff behind it that's not so much hands-on. It's very hard to teach people if they're not right there. Questions are easier to ask and answer in person than a Zoom call or an email. So I agree with training. Absolutely. Training in person, I think, is absolutely better. But for people who are already trained and know what they're doing, if you're just working at a computer terminal in a building, or you're working at your computer at your house, I'm not sure where the difference is there. And a lot of CEOs want to say that people are tired of working from home and they're getting burned out from it. But when you talk to people who are actually doing the jobs, not many of them are saying that, at least not a lot of the people I talk to. I've talked to people who have been work from home before the pandemic, and they really don't want to change. Now, some people work better when there's someone there to tell them what to do. Some people have a harder time working on their own. Absolutely. So that one's kind of split. But then I saw this one snippet in this article, and it linked back to, I think it's called McKinsey Research, and it was a midterm report on remote work, which found that remote workers are much less likely to report mental and physical health issues in hostile work environments when they work from home. Do you think? You think when you're working from home, it's not a hostile work environment, that you might not be as burned out, you might not have the mental stress if you've got a relaxed environment, something that you're comfortable with? I think that is a pretty obvious decline that you would see. I don't know why they put that in a report as being pro return to office. I'm not exactly sure. Next up, this one, I'm not going to go into the whole thing because it was a pretty lengthy article. I'll put the link in the show notes. It was from Business Insider, and it basically made the return office debate a sexist issue. This is what the gist of it I got. Sexist old white men want men to be men and work from the office instead of being sissies at home. That is the general gist of what I saw. I think that one's way, way, way out in left field, but that's what I read. So I don't know where they're coming from with that. Of basically, you're not a man if you're working from home because you're at your house. If that's really true, if businesses are really doing that, that's insane. Next up, I came across from fearlessculture.design. These are just results I got. Basically saying that the recurring theme is that most CEOs believe that workplace culture has suffered during the pandemic. It becomes a control issue. And I think this is getting more into why CEOs and upper management are really pushing for a return to office. They have very little control over what you do if you're at home. Basically saying that the senior leaders think that culture can only happen in your office and that you're missing connections and that hurts the culture if you're working from home. To an extent, I can understand what they're saying, but also on the flip side of that, before the pandemic, pre-pandemic, if you worked in an office or even in a warehouse, doesn't matter, and you say went to the water cooler, right, and you're getting yourself some water and you're talking to your employees and management walked by, what would they say? Get back to work. You can talk when you're home. Now suddenly CEOs and upper management are saying that those conversations are what build the culture of the business. And now not being able to waste your time talking to your fellow workers at the water cooler is hurting the culture and therefore hurting productivity. I think they're bullshitting us on that one. I really do. They're grasping for straws on how they can get you back to control. I really do think a lot of this comes down to control. That was from Fearsome Culture. Then I came to these last two. And I don't even know what to... I had to actually do a little bit deeper research than just what I initially read. And you can look these up. The first one, CEO of Starwood Capital, Barry Sternlicht, says that workers are saying, and this is a quote, "I don't want to drive into the city an hour and a half and drive home an hour and a half every day." But he says he also thinks, quote, "A nice little recession will clear this and you'll see people come back to the office." Do yourself a favor. Google Barry Sternlicht, Starwood Capital. How did I find it? A nice little recession. Put his name in, Barry Sternlicht, nice little recession. You'll find a video. I actually got a transcript of this. That is a direct quote from this guy. But you got to hear the way he says it. When he says, "I also think a nice little recession will clear this and you'll see people come back to the office," he's almost giddy. He's kind of laughing. He's jovial. He thinks it's funny that we need a recession. This guy is worth $4.6 billion. A recession is not going to hurt him. But his workers, who you know he's not paying $4.6 billion, they need a recession to get their asses back in gear. That's really how these rich assholes think. They don't care about you. They don't care about me. They care about their profit. They care about their gains. And you're just complaining. The next one, and this one is another one that kind of set me off a little bit when I saw it. This guy's name, he's the CEO of Freedom Property Investors. His name's Scott Kuru. And he said, "Never hire anyone looking for work-life balance." Although he's not against work-life balance, he says, quote, "Most people, not all, but most people who say I'm looking for work-life balance are not driven to grow and therefore not committed to improvement and or being super committed to the company's goals. Now we're getting into that control. We're getting into that greed again. You aren't committed enough to make this guy more money. He also said that companies that do hire these types of people build teams and companies of B players and low performers, which over time drain away profits and results. There's the key word, profits. Why aren't you working harder to make this guy rich? You're going to make a little bit of money. You're going to make money that you think is a lot, but really isn't much money. The bulk of it's going to go to this guy. Stop being lazy. Bust your ass. Make this guy rich. The mindset of people, of the elite, the 1%, or I don't know if even $4.6 billion is the 1% anymore. I don't know. These upper level CEO guys, these billionaire elite, they really believe that you and I are just drones. We should work for them and be happy. I worked for a company, not a big company. Big enough, if I told you the name, you'd be like, oh, I've heard of them. I worked for them a few years ago. And the CEO of the company started this business from nothing. Build it up from the ground up. And he put together this book of inspirational business quotes. And I don't know that he wrote them all. He may have just collected them all. But isn't it like a pretty nice book? It seemed like it was leather bound. And it was a nice looking little book. And the manager opens it up and he says, I'm going to read this a quote to help inspire everybody or whatever he said. And it was very rah, 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 go team. And it was something along the lines of, the best reward for a job well done is the opportunity to do more for your company. Work hard so that you have the privilege to work harder for a little bit of pay, a whole lot of hours, and really know anything. You're not really going to get much from it. It's also the same company that when I started for them, I told them, I was right up front, said, look, I've got my own business. They said, that's fine. We will work with you on hours, whenever you need. And of course, it turned out that they didn't want to do that. And one day, one of the people that interviewed me, he was one of the managers, interviewed me, told me that they would work with me. When I told him I couldn't work on a Saturday because I just couldn't give them 6 days, I worked 3 p.m. till 1 a.m. They want me coming at 10 a.m. on the Saturday and work for 4 hours. I can't do that. This shoots my whole weekend. I can't get anything done. There's nothing I can do. He said he has his own business too, but that job, that corporate job was his priority. And I looked at him and I said, well, then you don't really have a business as much as you have a hobby. And he said, well, maybe you need to rethink your priorities. So 2 days later, I walked in and handed them my 2 week notice. So you're right. I did. There you go. See you later. And I went to Arizona for a month. Unfortunately, I think the situation between the workforce and the workplace is going to get worse before it gets better. Reading the quote where this guy says a nice little recession will clear this, and what we're seeing now, It's kind of scary because, yeah, these CEOs, these billionaire elites, they control the workforce, the workplace. They control the product. They control the flow of everything. They could very easily, if they wanted to, create a recession. And recessions, unfortunately, the way things work now, it's no longer about supply and demand. That has very little to do with the economy, with recessions, with how things are going. It's all speculation. It's like oil prices. It has nothing to do with supply and demand. If someone says the price of oil is going to go up, the price of oil is going to go up. And that's another one that gets me, because when someone says the price of oil is going to go up, 10 seconds later, the gas stations are raising their prices. But when the price of oil comes back down, it takes a month for the gas stations to drop their prices And if you ask them about it, they say, oh, well, it takes time for that to cycle through the system. Really? Because you raised them immediately before the price went up. Because they control it. I don't know what the answer is. I don't know what the solution is other than be smart. Don't keep all your eggs in one basket. You can't rely on the people who run these businesses to not be willing to take a hit in the short term to make a gain in the long term. So if they think that firing you because you work from home is going to work out for them in the long run, regardless how long you've worked for a place, they think that getting rid of you will help them later in a bigger way, they will do it like that. They don't care. And I think that's the scariest thing, is that these people don't care. Hope you guys enjoyed this one. A little bit different than what I did in season 4. Working on a lot of other stuff for the season. If you've got ideas, if there's something you want to talk about, drop me a message. It could be a conspiracy. It could be about anything. Fair game this season. Season 5 is fair game. Fair game? Fair game. That sounds weird when you say it. Fair game? It's fair game. Fair game? Should I call it season 5? Fair game? Fair game. So yeah, I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. There's a lot more to come for the season. Think more. Fair game. Talk to you in the next episode. See ya.